Someone wrote me in the chat our application that would love to hear about grace. This teaching is grace. So you hear it all the time. What more grace do you want? In my younger age, where I was seeking desperately for the spiritual answers, having some access to pure subjectivity, but still being confused about different matters and being quite lost, if I received that level of clarity, as is presented in this teaching, I would kiss the feet of a teacher. It is such a grace. And I'm not presenting here myself as like the bestower of grace, because I am myself receiving that grace of something bigger, the truth that happens to reveal itself to me and through me to you. Don't take this teaching for granted. Because you are just so very lucky to be part of it. You are blessed. Because the teaching is grace. So grace is not to receive a magical enlightenment, such as that you are at the feet of the teacher, suddenly you shift in the supreme state. That is not grace. And actually things like this never happen. The glimpses of self-realization happen in the presence of the teacher, but one has to walk the path. One has to own the truth. It's not, grace is not about receiving the truth. Just about receiving the truth. It's about owning the truth. Mastering it. Embodying it within one's own subjectivity. This teaching is just showing you the shortest way to reach that. It is the shortest way, but to a complex realization of your multidimensional self. Imagine that someone would theoretically receive the quotation mark grace and arrive at that complete self-realization magically. What would happen then? That person would die. Because no one is ready to embody their complete pure subjectivity. There has to be a progressive, energetic transformation and transformation on the level of consciousness in order to make one ready to become one's complete self. Otherwise, one would just die. First, one would get crazy because that dramatic shift would make one insane. Second, one would die physically because the body just energetically cannot take it. So what do you mean by grace? You need to understand this term in a proper context. There's a wisdom behind grace, and that is justice behind grace. There's a progressiveness behind the term grace. And there's a responsibility to which one has to adhere in order to live that grace. Many students receive grace to some extent. But they cannot live it, they cannot understand it, they cannot appreciate it. It is just wasted. Does it mean that the grace was given by accident to them? And it was some kind of a mistake? Not necessarily. Because they still had a choice. They still have a free will. So that grace was more like a portion of truth given to them. That gives them the opportunity to enter the realm of pure subjectivity, consciousness, and truth, but still they have to make the choice, have to surrender to it, they have to prove being worthy of it, or else that grace will be taken away from them. So you need to understand the truth behind the term of grace and go beyond your sentimental projections about this term. Because there's a truth behind grace. There's illusion behind how people view, project, imagine, fantasize about whatever this concept, however this concept is reflected in their mind. People live in a dream, and the majority of spiritual concepts, including grace, is part of the dream. It's not real. It's part of the fantasy. So, coming back to that subject of the awakening of the internal person, I'm kind of procrastinating here. Why? Two reasons. First, I'm trying to prepare the space for that understanding to be formulated, and also I'm some kind of maintaining the space of questioning for you, that you have to question it, you need to reflect on it. So that you don't just receive immediate answer and you say, oh yeah, awakening of the internal person is this or that. It's too easy. Remember, we have so many centers in pure subjectivity, and each one of them plays an important role in our evolution. This important part represents a different important crucial part of our pure subjectivity, but the internal person is unique, because at the end, he is the main center of consciousness. He still needs to go through evolutionary process, need to transform, but he is always the main center of our identity. Very important. So close to who we are, and yet so difficult to capture. So one reason that I am procrastinating in giving the answer, how the internal person awakens, is that I don't want to give the answer too easy. I want you to seek that answer with me. So we discover it together. But another reason is that I am still in that space of pondering what is this mechanism based on which the internal person awakens, because it's not that simple. Meaning I'm still within myself trying to conceptually clarify how the internal person awakens so that I can clarify it for you. So, in the last talk, I started to say that awakening or the recognition of the internal, that the most suitable space for recognizing the internal person is in meditation with eyes closed, or in the mode of consciousness which resembles the state of consciousness with eyes closed, because then the external person and human consciousness becomes more absorbed. Otherwise, if I ask you, what is your center of intelligence, main center of intelligence, like an activity with eyes open, you will naturally identify with the human person, which is fine, but it is still not the internal person. It's still not the main center of personal intelligence. It is the human center of the personal intelligence. So in meditation with eyes closed, if I ask you to think or to be in the space where you think what to think about, your consciousness, your personal consciousness is more internalized. Assuming you have access to some kind of absorption inside. Then when you think what to think about, you are actually thinking from a deeper place. The kind of place which exists prior to that kind of attention which is engaged in your psychological dimension or external attention. And that is the internal person doing. As I have been contemplating this matter, I come to a conclusion that awakening of the internal person occurs in conjunction with the awakening or activation of the innermost person. Why? Because the innermost person actually, by being turned towards our overall pure subjectivity, gives an anchor for the internal person to have a stability in his identity. Otherwise, the identity of the internal person is just too intangible. So that module that represented in the past, that first the internal person awakens and then the innermost person awakens, like based on the spiritual intention of the internal person seeking the higher definition of his pure subjectivity, the innermost person comes into existence, is, that progression is not so linear. Actually, the internal person and the innermost person come into existence together. Because why? Because the internal person, it's very important, the internal person comes into existence. As the personal center of intelligence of self, that is spiritually orientated. He does not come into existence just to be the internal person. He comes into existence endowed with the spiritual purpose. This is why he comes into existence. Otherwise, he does not need to exist. The external person can exist by himself, just performing the basic functions, living in that psychological, animalistic, mental reality of low consciousness. So the internal person comes in doubt with a spiritual purpose. But in order to be connected to that purpose on the level of his existence, he needs to have at the same time his extension, the inner eye open, which is the innermost person. So they come together. So the internal person, it's not the first. The internal person is recognized and then he becomes the spiritual seeker. He is the spiritual seeker. That's the very reason why he exists, and what allows him to exist, and what brings him into existence. Which means that this is why the internal person does not exist in most humans, because the spiritual seeker does not exist in most humans. The all consciousness is externally orientated, entirely identified with their psychological existence, with their personality. There's no spiritual internalization, even though the external person can be psychologically internalized, but that psychological internalization does not yet represent the spiritual internalization. So these are all very subtle things, but very important and very close home. Very close to who you are. They're actually touching you directly. I'm not speaking about some abstract things. I'm talking really about you. 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 The human person, the external person, even though he can be psychologically internalized, just does not have the faculty to look within. He can conceptualize, he can reflect, but he does not have that eye that can look within. So most people who are, quotation mark, spiritual, they are spiritual on the level of the external person. External person, spiritual. Thinking, contemplating, philosophizing about spirituality, about God and self and consciousness. Contemplating Advaita Buddhism. All of these things the external person can do, but what he cannot do, he cannot experience self. He can experience his sense of self, which is actually important, but it is just a tip of the iceberg of our complete self. So there are limits to the evolution of the external person. Eventually he exhausts his potential to evolve. He gets stuck. He exhausts his potential. Even if his intentions are sincere, he just cannot proceed. He's stuck and eventually just falls. If he is evolved enough, he actually falls in the state of depression. Because a new center in consciousness has to be created in order to replace his function. And that is the internal person. A new center of personal intelligence, which is closer to self, or to the essence of self, to the core of self, or to the depth of self, has to come into existence. That is the internal person. And as I said, the internal person awakens in conjunction with the innermost person. Because he is immediately, spiritually orientated. Not just in his intention, but in the direction of his attention. So there is this great quantum leap in our evolution between the external person and the internal person. It is really a dramatic shift. It's like Homo erectus becomes Homo sapiens. A new species is born. Which it is. A new species. You can divide human beings into two species. I mean, we can divide them into more species, but for now into two species. Those who do not have internal person and those who do have internal person. They are completely different species. Because the difference between us is in consciousness. We are also different in personality and so on, but fundamentally, on a deeper level, we are different in consciousness. What Friedrich Nietzsche called the overman. A man, as such, is not a finite creature, he is a bridge between an animal and overman. And unless you cross that bridge, you live all your life stuck on that bridge. Between two shores. Sometimes you gravitate more towards the animal, sometimes more towards the overman. But you cannot fully become an animal, you cannot fully go back, and then you cannot go forward, so you're just stuck in between. And that is the fate of humanity. And what is your purpose, why you exist, is to cross that bridge. Into the internal person. There is still evolution ahead of you, as you know. here or the map of awakening. But if you become the internal person, you are already on the other side. You are in a new land that you begin to explore and walk over through. You actually, you have crossed the bridge. And your new adventure begins. It's very important what I'm talking about. What I want to communicate to you is that exquisite importance, significance, that dramatic change that is caused by the awakening of the internal person. Internal person is the overman. He is the one who transcended the human condition without God. I mean, I'm paraphrasing Friedrich Nietzsche, because his concept of transcendence was based on the idea that God is dead. And I am not saying that God is dead. I'm just saying that you do not need God to become overman. You can transcend the human condition within the capacity of your human consciousness. You don't need grace to become the internal person. You just need to become real. That is your responsibility. If you expect grace to take you there, you are basically refusing to take your responsibility. And without taking that responsibility, becoming the internal person completely does not make any sense whatsoever, because to become the internal person equals taking responsibility to become the highest center of your personal intelligence. But the additional clarification in this talk, actually two clarifications. One is that awakening of the internal person occurs simultaneously in conjunction with the awakening of the innermost person. And second, that awakening of the internal person is awakening equals awakening to our spiritual center. So it's not like first you awaken the internal person, then you become spiritual. Awakening of the internal person is to become a spiritual being. So there is more to the awakening of the internal person than meets the eye. It's actually quite profound. That's why I'm waiting with giving, with clarifying this matter, because I'm sort of hesitating, because I see there's something there so important, so I don't want to just create some kind of a shortcut, conceptual shortcut, just to explain, okay, the internal person awakens when you contemplate, who is thinking, or who is thinking from a deeper place than the external person, and so on. These are just technicalities. There's something much more profound that is really taking place. The internal person does not exist in human beings in general. He exists only in spiritual beings, those who are spiritually awakened. Not complete, because that is the beginning, but they are awakened. And that is not in contradiction to the fact that I said that the first awakening is that external person becomes conscious of himself. Because it is indeed the first awakening. But that is not yet a spiritual awakening in the real meaning of this term. It is awakening within our psychological dimension. Spiritual awakening, the first spiritual awakening, is the awakening of the internal person. He is our true I. He is the center, the ruler, the king of our whole consciousness. Even though the fact that the internal person becomes conscious of himself, that he comes into existence, does not yet make him complete, because he needs all these other centers in consciousness as the foundation upon which he can become complete. But it doesn't take away the enormity, profundity behind that event, that the internal person suddenly, magically becomes conscious of himself.